pase, pierna derecha, directo al arco, golazo, golazo.
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Thursday, January 30th, 2020. I'm Kevin Larame, joined by Dwayne Mullins. As always, today it's a day of celebration. We're celebrating Christine St. Clair's 185th goal, the most amount goal scored by an international player, man or woman. And to celebrate this momentous occasion, joining us live from Texas, from the Canadian Premier League, CanPL.ca, John Molinaro. How are you today, sir?
Good, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing well, John. I'm wondering to start with, it's rare in a, someone's career to have the opportunity to watch a world record be broken in front of your eyes, but it was kind of a different situation in the sense that you were one of the very few people that were there to see it. Was there any sense in the moment when it happened? Was there any sense of how big it was?
Well, certainly amongst, the Canadian players, there was, a bit of a celebration, and then they kind of doused her with the champagne, sort of bath at halftime and after the game. Within the stadium, it kind of passed with, not much, too much recognition. They made an announcement, after they announced the goal, the PA announcer kind of referenced it. But it was a very sparse crowd, to be perfectly honest, inside the Head Park. It seats about 9,500, something like that. It's a very modern stadium. It looks spectacular. But there was, maybe 1,000 people in the stands at the time. So it was kind of surreal to see it sort of unfold before your eyes and not without much fanfare or atmosphere, especially for such a historic event. I mean, it really kind of drove home the point that this would have meant so much more and would have been a way bigger deal had she done it on home soil. But, sometimes you can't choose these things. They just have to play out the way they are. But I do think the lack of sort of grandiose of the occasion really kind of hit home for me about it.
Fair enough. I've had an opportunity to talk to Christine St. Clair several times over the years and directly ask her about this record at some points. And she's always downplayed it that, if it happens, it happens. And I don't really care. When she did score it, there did seem to be a bit more emotion on her face in the celebrations. Do you think that it does matter to her? And do you think she does fully appreciate what she means to the sport and to a lot of people in this country?
I think so. I mean, I think it's difficult for her just because she's, a somewhat quiet and reserved and, shy person. I think with outsiders, within sort of the team and everything, her teammates and friends, I think she's very close to them. So it is sort of, you are able to sort of penetrate through that, protective veneer that she puts up, around herself. I think it just takes time and special people only get through. I think she realizes it. I think she appreciates it. In the post-game press conference, she talked about, being a proud Canadian and what it meant to sort of break this record as a Canadian, how she, really sort of works to and embraces the sort of role of inspiring the next generation of young Canadian girls to play the game. Something she takes very seriously. She was, thankful for all the sort of the warm wishes coming from back home and, social media obviously lighting up last night. But at the same time, I think there was a quiet relief on her that, this is finally over and she can just kind of move on with her life and put this past her. And, she said, look, at the end of the day, we're here to qualify for the Olympics. That's the main goal. And, I think one of the first questions was, out of a box in the presser was about, how does it feel? And she kind of quickly talked about it, but then said, basically, I'm glad this is over with now because now we can kind of move on. We've got, two more games to win to get through the semifinal. So I think, quietly and was very appreciative of all the love and support she was getting, but quickly wanted to move on and focus on the task at hand, which is, obviously qualifying for the Tokyo Games.
Christine St. Clair, John, never won a FIFA Player of the Year award. She never was even nominated, and she scored 185 goals. How underappreciated do you think Christine St. Clair was internationally before last night?
I think pretty much very underrated, very underappreciated. I'm not sure, you know, people outside of Canada truly sort of understand the significance and the influence that she's had on the Canadian game. You know, aside from the goal, aside from the goal scoring mark, which is, you know, incredible, and sort of the level of consistency and relevancy, really, that she's had since, you know, she debuted as a 16-year-old and has, you know, had for the last two decades. I think that is an amazing of itself. But for me, I think what really has been what most impresses me about her is just, I've kind of talked about it before, is just the way she's inspired, you know, young girls across the country to play the game. I was talking to Julia Grosso on Tuesday for Canada's final training session. She's a 19-year-old native of Vancouver. She started yesterday against St. Kitts. I think she's only got about, you know, 15 or 16 caps, if I remember that correctly. So she's very much, you know, at the start of her career. And she was just saying, and she wasn't even born when Christine, you know, made her debut in 2000 as a 16-year-old. And Julia was just telling me about how, you know, she had, you know, photos of Christine St. Clair on her wall growing up, and how watching her, you know, compete for the national team really sort of inspired her to want to play the game and to represent her country. And she's not alone in that. I mean, you talk to several of her teammates, both past and present. You know, Kaylin Kyle, I remember interviewing her several years ago, telling me the exact same story of watching Christine at the 2002 U19 World Cup in Edmonton, when, you know, Christine really sort of announced herself, I think, for the first time to the soccer world. And, you know, they were playing before, you know, very large crowds in Edmonton and Commonwealth Stadium. You know, she was in, I think, in Saskatchewan at the time where she grew up, and she told me the story of getting her mom to drive her to Edmonton to watch the games, and that's kind of lit the fire under her about wanting to play soccer and to represent Canada. And again, there's just so many stories that so many young girls who can tell that same sort of tale. So for me, you know, as great as the goal scoring record is, and as great as she's, you know, an ambassador of the game, she's been for Canada, I think to me, that's probably like the most astonishing thing about her and her legacy, is just how she's really sort of lit a fire in so many young Canadian girls to play, pick up the game of soccer.
I'm not one to break down every single word of a response from a player after a game. But one thing that I thought was interesting is the tenth of the word she used. She said, yeah, it shows that I had a great career. That past tense that Christine St. Clair used last night talking to Laura Dykin and other members of the media as yourself, do you think there's any indication here of what the future could be for Christine St. Clair? The Olympic this summer, Tokyo 2020, if Canada qualifies, of course, will be a big moment and a target for her. What do you think the future holds after Tokyo 2020 for Christine St. Clair?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, because I think everyone just kind of assumes that the Tokyo Olympics, should Canada qualify, will be her swan song, and that, you know, that'll be it for her international career. And, you know, maybe she'll either retire altogether or just continue with her club career. I'm of the opinion that she's going to continue to go on playing for Canada. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we're talking about her playing at the next World Cup in 2022, I guess it would be. You know, she'd be, what, 40, I think? But you look at her, and I mean, I really kind of studied her in training the other day. She's 36, but she keeps herself in fantastic shape. I mean, she's really sort of dedicated to, you know, keeping her body in tip-top shape, you know, her diet and her workout regimen and everything. She's just a, you know, a really physical specimen of the highest order. So, you know, this idea that the Tokyo will be her swan song, it could be, but it really wouldn't surprise me, to be honest, just for her to keep going. I think she still has that drive to want to compete and to win. Mm-hmm. And let's not forget, I mean, she's never, you know, the two bronze medals were great, and I think they were, you know, a fantastic moment for the Canadian national team, but she's never won a gold medal, and I think that's kind of the one thing. Not that I don't think it's, you know, if she never wins a gold medal, I don't think that diminishes her career at all. And she's the, you know, one of the greatest women's players of all time. But I think for her, that's sort of like a gaping hole in her resume that she wants to fill. So, you know, it, as I said, it wouldn't surprise me if she continues on for a few more years. I mean, she's 36, but she's a very young 36.
Fair enough. I actually agree with you. I think that we might be talking about her scoring 200 goals sometime in the next 4 years, which would be quite remarkable. John, Christine Sinclair wants us to focus on the rest of the task at hand now, the qualifying. So let's do that for before we let you go. Obviously, 11-0, very difficult to break that down in any meaningful way. But what is your sense of this team right now? And do you think that they have what it takes to get this done against, you know, if you watch that US Haiti game, you have to be going, that's going to be a tough touch if that's who they are meeting in that game to go to the Olympics. Do you get the sense that this is a confident group that has the ability to get there?
I think so. I mean, I don't read anything into the result yesterday just because, you know, with all due respect to St. Kitts, they're a terrible team. Gap in quality and class between the two sides is never more evident than, you know, that first half, you know, taking the 7-0 lead in the halftime break. It was women and girls out there. So I don't read too much into it. Jamaica, I know they're coming off their World Cup debut and they might prove a sterner test, but I think, you know, Canada should brush them aside fairly easily. And even Mexico, who, you know, have improved over recent years, and there's a big, you know, we're 15 minutes away from the Mexican border here in Edinburgh, so I suspect it will be a hometown game for the Mexicans. I still think Canada should come out of this, should win that game and come out of this group, you know, quite comfortably. So yeah, I mean, advancing to the Olympics, I think, you know, I think the path is there clearly. I mean, I think they have the group is there for them to win, and in doing so, they're probably going to avoid the U.S. You know, U.S. obviously is, I think, you know, favored to win Group A, and so long as they win their group, then they're not going to clash in the semifinals. And, you know, I would put Canada being able to beat either Costa Rica or Haiti or Panama in the semifinals to clinch a berth. Now, if they got to face the U.S. in the semifinals, that's a whole different story. I know, Canada is obviously on, got a little bit of wind in their sails after their result and, you know, last night, and presumably they're going to sail through the qualifiers, but I don't think they're, even at this stage, I don't think they can match up to the U.S. So I think winning the group is obviously going to be key for them, because that'll eventually, obviously, that's going to probably mean that they'll avoid the U.S. in the semifinals.
Before we say goodbye for today, John, looking at this Canadian Women's National Team roster, now that Christine Sinclair has beaten the record, attention goes to Jamaica and then Mexico. And the team itself will evolve. Christine Sinclair might be the best super sub that Canada will ever have in the next coming few years, and she might be surrounded by the best crop of players of her entire career. Mm-hmm. Is there something to it that Christine Sinclair could become a mentor? I don't want to use the player-coach type of situation, but her on the bench, motivated and be able to give a dangerous 20-minute every game at the end, if it comes to that, but surround this group of young players with experience, with a certain reality of what it takes to be this good with her work ethic. Could her presence surrounding this club, maybe not as a starter, be what is best for this national team?
I mean, it could be. I mean, I could, you know, see her in that sort of role. And I mean, I think she's kind of doing it now anyway. I mean, obviously, as she's playing regular minutes and as a starter, and she does kind of have that sort of mentor player coach role about her in training sessions and on the field. I mean, if you watch them train, as I have this week, you'll see that most of the time the players kind of defer to her. And she's really sort of, sort of egging people on and pulling their players aside and then sort of giving them instructions and whatnot. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me to see that. I mean, as I said, she's already sort of filled that sort of player coach role. But again, as I said earlier, I think even at 36, and she's a young 36, I think she still has plenty of game left in her legs. And so long as she wants to keep playing, she's going to play. And the super sub role, possibly. But again, I just think the way she's going and just her character and the determination she has to keep playing and keep going forward, I just see her just continuing on as she is at this current moment.
Of course, while you're in Edinburgh, Texas, the biggest news in the Canadian Premier League dropped yesterday, of course. So congratulations to Atletico Ottawa. And you can follow John on social media at John Molinaro, Director of Content of the Canadian Premier League, covering the CONCACAF Women's Olympic Qualifier Tournament live from Edinburgh, Texas. John, we thank you very much. And you can follow John's work on kenpl.ca. We hope you have a great rest of a group stage in Edinburgh. And of course, nice weather.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
And we'll be right back after this short break here on Soccer Today.
You are listening to Soccer Today. Follow us on Twitter at Soccer Today SPN and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.
And we're back on Soccer Today. You want to hear more about our thoughts on Christine St. Clair, about Atletico Ottawa yesterday after the final whistle of Canada, St. Kitts and Nevis. Dwayne and I got together virtually for about 20-minute conversation on Christine St. Clair. And you can find that audio on our Breaking News Audio Patreon feed at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. But now, Dwayne, you're 12 hours or a bit more removed from 185th. How do you feel today about it?
Pretty good. Although, just for the record, real quickly, that interview was done from the toilet at the Cloak and Dagger, because I'm classy that way, and
I kind of figured with the echo last night. I was like, all right, I'm just not going to mention anything. I'm just going to play with the board.
It was -10. It wasn't going outside.
Oh, the sacrifices of podcasters. But Christine St. Clair, 12 hours later, goal scorer, international world record holder, international. Wow, that's something. And, you know, of course, it's all the men, and it's more than the men. Of course, the big scores like last night over the years, and that's what I want to say here with you. The differences between Abby Wambach, Mia Hamm before, and Christine St. Clair is the supporting cast they had over the years. Of course, over the last 10 years, with most of the goals Christine St. Clair came was in the last 15 years, she did have good support. The Caitlin Kyles we mentioned, and of course the Anna Matheson. There's a lot more. But right now, the players she has, she might be getting to 200 if she plays for a few years more. But Abby Wambach had a supporting cast of extraordinary talent in the women's game during the 2010s and before. 2001 till 2016 when Abby Wambach's career was. So there's a big disparity here where Christine St. Clair, not only did she have to score, but most of the time she had to do the build-up of her own goals. So there's that.
No, for sure. Look, I don't want to bash Abby Wambach in any way. She was a very strong player that scored goals in a very physical and in-your-face kind of way and was very effective in the system that the U.S. played. She did it in fewer games, obviously. They did, you know, that's one side of that coin. The other side of the coin is the U.S. did play a lot more tomato cans, for lack of a better way to put it, over the years to get her those goals. So it's a bit of one and a bit of column A, a bit of column B when it comes to that. They're both brilliant players. And Abby Wambach, of course, did tweet immediately following the game to welcome Christine St. Clair to the Wolfpack, which it was a very nice sentiment, a little odd message, but it was a nice sentiment. It was
like Wolfpack. So the
yeah,
Wolfpack.
Welcome to the Wolfpack.
What is it? The 180 goal Wolfpack? Because there's only two of you.
I don't know. Well, there's three. It was Mia Hamm, Abby Wambach, Christine Sinclair.
Yeah, but Mia Hamm's got like 158.
She was the original that they both passed, and anyway, 156, I believe, off the top of my head, it's around that.
You're pretty close.
What are my feelings? You asked me that earlier. I think this is a brilliant moment, and you saw it last night in the reaction on social media. Now, the world moves quick. We're already moving on because that's what it is, and I think Christine St. Clair will be happy with that because she doesn't like the massive attention. But
I can bet you that she hasn't opened her phone or her Twitter since yesterday. She's like, I'm just going to wait a few weeks, and it's going to go pass by, and I can go back to Twitter. Yeah, at Cincy12. Go there.
Yeah, I think the only reason she doesn't have like a private Twitter is because she's been told by her agent that she can't do that. She never interacts on Twitter, which is fine, her prerogative. But yeah, it'll be blown up because everyone's tagging her, right? But I mean, I hope she does read it because not just the fans. The fans are nice, obviously, but you have legends of the game. Abby Wambach, Mia Hamm, they both did tweet at her. Billie Jean King, non-sports. Justin Trudeau tweeted at her.
Oh, and
so it's
international superstars in the world of sports and entertainment also. Like I mentioned on our special show last night, I said the entire Canadiana celebrated Christine St. Clair's goal last night.
Yeah, and it was nice to see, and it's well-deserved. She has been underappreciated for most of her career. Thankfully, she had that great game against the U.S. in the Olympics in 2012, which propelled her to the Lou Marsh Award, which is Canada's Athlete of the Year in all sports, both genders. So that was a great acknowledgement of her at that time. I find it, you know, that was the peak of her career, really. That game, when you think back, if you look at her best moments, that game is obviously stands up. It's too bad that the defense could not have prevented that and allowed Canada to advance to a gold medal game. That was their best chance. And, okay, you know, as much as we'd all like to see it happen, I think it was probably the best chance she's going to see. But
don't get me started on the indirect free kick, Dwayne. 2012 is a long time away, and it's not good for my blood pressure to be mad about events of 8 years ago.
Yeah, it's 1, 2, 3. Anyway,
why do you blow the whistle? Oh, it's three seconds. Oh, yeah. Anyways, we were saying.
Seems like yesterday. Wow,
it's 8 years ago. Freaking years ago, London.
Seven and a half. Does not age me too much here.
Okay, fine. I'll give you the 6 months.
Anyway, look. Yeah, it's. What do you say about her? She's brilliant, but in terms of the competition at hand, Kevin, I mean, that's the important point right now, because it really is an Olympic qualifier. And I watched that Haiti US game the other day, and Jonathan Tannenwald and myself will break that down tomorrow. So we'll talk about the US second game as well tomorrow when we do have the conversation. And I'm sure Jonathan and I will have a few words to say about about Christine St. Clair, and he'll probably talk about the bowling celebration after and try and
it was great.
She'll try and make it seem like we're hypocrites because that's, you know, God love you, Jonathan, but that's probably what you're gonna do. And it's not the same thing, because it was 3-0, not 11-0 when it happened.
And
anyway,
after like the seventh goal, they were pretty let's face it,
well, Canada was pretty subdued. Back to half, I think they're pretty aware that they have to. So
like after Adrienne Leon scored a hat trick, she just like, all right, thanks, no high five, just like okay, I got this.
Anyway,
which to finish the circle here, Dwayne, Canada 11-0 versus St. Kitts and Nevis, Mexico 1-0 against Jamaica, which is an interesting result, the closest result so far in the women's Olympic qualifier in CONCACAF. Mexico and Jamaica tells you a lot about where Jamaica is, where Mexico is. Both teams over the last 6 months have had a lot of issues off the field. Is it these issues influencing the result, or is Mexico and Jamaica this damn close, which means that the two games remaining for Canada will not be piece of cakes?
Yeah, well, they never were going to be. It'll be interesting to watch what the scoreline is the next when Mexico and Jamaica play St. Kitts and Nevis. That'll give you a better indication of what that result was last night. But yeah, look, I think we as Canadian observers are sometimes a little too critical of the program. I mean, they are better than Mexico and Jamaica still. They should win those games. If they don't win those games, then they're in a lot of trouble. And we've explained this multiple times. I think most of our listeners understand that you cannot slip up. Otherwise, you're probably not going to the Olympics unless you can pull your first win over the U.S. since 2003. And I wouldn't count on that, especially in a game where they need to win too. So it's a tough one. But I didn't see much in that second game that would give me too much worries. Canada, the one thing they do very well, they did very well in France as well, is they defend. And they don't allow a lot of opportunities to go the other way, even against the very best teams in the world. So I believe, you know, you think back to the Canada playing the U.S. in the CONCACAF Championship game for Olympic qualifying. That was a very tight game. 2-0 was the final score, but it was 1-0 almost the entire game based on a, you know, very early goal that they gave up, and then they defended very well.
Yeah.
Just could not create, and that's been their problem against the better teams. And I think against Jamaica and Mexico, then you have an opportunity to really shut them down. And I think you have enough firepower that you will find gold, whether it be St. Clair getting more, or we saw Adrienne Leon get a hat trick last night. I don't know what that means, because they're playing a team that, bluntly, you could put together you could probably go out at a typical college in the United States and take their college team, and they would beat that team that St. Kitts and Nevis put out there.
Oh yeah, like it's a 15-year-old player was playing for St. Kitts and Nevis, and not because she's a wonderkin, because the numbers have to be make up. And
look, good for them for making it there. Of course, not to be dismissed, but
it's step one,
a reflection
right?
of how poor. Yeah, it's a reflection of how poor women's football is in the Caribbean.
Yep.
And that's a shame. But, yeah, it's good for them for getting there, and hopefully they can build on this. And what do they gain from losing 11-0? I'm not sure. But
at least it's only 11. It could have been 14. So that's how they look at it. ED Costa Rica tomorrow at 6 p.m. Panama United States tomorrow at 8:30 p.m. St. Kitts and Nevis, Mexico, Saturday, February 1st at 3:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And Canada, Jamaica. Jamaica, Canada at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturday. Dwayne, before we wrap the show up for today, there's a rumor that I want to address, and you'll think that it's an episode of The Twilight Zone or it's a Doctor Who episode where I just jump into the tortoise and came back a year ago, talking about Nacho Piatti and the rumors of him going back to Argentina. Okay, everyone listening to this, I'm going to tell you a rule of thumb when it comes to rumors, okay? There's a rumor of your favorite player leaving. Okay, should you take it with a lot of credence? Depends. Where does a rumor come from? Okay, Argentina. Okay, fine. Where in Argentina? A not known really source and a club that you've never heard before? Guess what? There's probably nothing to that rumor. As a journalist and as someone who's been talking to journalists for a long time, and I'll ask Dwayne that question. Dwayne, when a rumor comes out of South America, if it's not a credible journalist that we personally either know or have heard of before, how much importance, how much value do you give these rumors?
If it's a single source, not much.
Exactly.
If it's coming from multiple sources, then you look at it. If it's coming from multiple sources, including sources in North America, then I think you start to, there's smoke there. That's kind of my rule of thumb, because again, and that's perhaps unfair to the journalists in South America, because I just simply don't know them. So in that case, I need to see it from someone I trust, right? With Piatti, you know, as you say, Piatti's rumored to go back to Argentina. It must be Tuesday, right? Like it's a pretty common thing.
It's every couple, you know, every 2 weeks.
And one day it'll happen.
Well, I won't believe until it happens, because that's exactly. There's an expression in French that says a cat who burns his paw is not going to touch cold water next time, because he's going to think it's hot, right? It's the same thing here. Like, until I see Piatti with a Banfield kit on, or San Lorenzo kit, or Boca Juniors, or whatever the case may be, whatever the rumor of the week is, I'm going to believe that. Of course, when you dig deeper and you go back, if you're a conspiracy theorist and if you like to link things that are not necessarily linkable, and you're like, well, he did leave before the media address in the postseason press conferences last year. He came up this year saying as an excuse, well, I just forgot and I left and I just forgot to meet you guys. Come on, you had 2 months. You came up with that excuse. So there's a little sentiment that, you know what, at this time we're almost getting tired. There's a few percentage of the Montreal Impact fandom that is feeling this way, like, you know what, at this point, let's transfer. But if it's a transfer, if his contract is all the way to all the entire year, 6 months, we'll see when it happens. But at this point, there's nothing more than there was the last time there was a rumor for Nacho Piatti to go to Argentina. So like you say, Dwayne, until I see Nacho land in Argentina and make a press conference with a different jersey on, he's a Montreal Impact player.
It's interesting what you said, and something to ponder. We don't have enough time today to really get into this, but is it in Montreal's best interest to sell him at this point? I don't know how much value you're going to get for a guy that's at the end of his contract that's older, but I'm wondering, you know, from a fresh start perspective under the Henry, the new era, whether you might want to just start fresh and not sort of have him go in the summer. But you do have CCL. I do know that matters to the Montreal fans. I don't know how realistic it is that Montreal will have a deep run in that competition, to be candid, but
boy, in 2015, we'll see.
Funnier things have happened. No one expected they weren't 15 either. Yeah,
they were 2 minutes away from being eliminated. Actually, no, 7 minutes from being eliminated when playing Pachuca. If it wasn't for Cameron Porter's brightest moment of his entire career, the goal against Pachuca that tied it and gave Montreal the away goal win, right? It was just a few minutes away. If you take that goal away, of course, and if my aunt had something, she would be my uncle, right?
Yeah.
So it's easy to go there. But you never know. A run, a journey starts with one step. It always starts with one step. And that first step is just 19 days away.
I do believe I heard Cameron Porter is playing in the New York Men's League now. So that's just something to think about there.
Well,
for
he's
a second.
Retired.
I could be wrong
yes.
on that one.
But, no, but you're not wrong. He retired a few years ago trying to focus on that. He's a very bright man. Went to Princeton, I believe, and is working social media and in technology and behind the scenes and programming. So Cameron Porter is probably a great player in the Men's League, too. If you have him in your team, guess what? You win the league. You might win the league.
It's like last editor. I was doing a League One Ontario game a couple years ago, and there was a game that was going on behind me with an announcement, and I kept hearing every 2 minutes, blah blah blah, goal scored by number 8 Terry Dunfield. Every 5 minutes, scored by number 8 Terry Dunfield. He had like 9 goals.
Okay, so to wrap the show all around, Wayne. Okay, so in the next 10 years, whenever Christine St. Clair retires, hopefully, we might have to move to Vancouver to make it happen. But you know. We can create the ESPN co-ed team and join a competitive league and ask Christine if she wants to play with us. Maybe that's our claim to fame, and the only way we'll be able to say that we had an assist on a goal scorer, world record holder goal.
Fair enough.
On that note, you can follow Dwayne on social media at 24th Minute, myself at Kev Laramie, and this show at Soccer Today SPN. Thank you to John Molinaro, Director of Content for the Canadian Premier League, also covering the CONCACAF Women's Olympic Qualifier Tournament in Edinburgh, Texas, and Houston for the Canadian Premier League website, available at canpl.ca. That's where you can find John's work, and on his Twitter at John Molinaro. Until tomorrow, as always, you can find the Patreon podcast at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. Breaking news audio yesterday, 2 Solitude Soccer podcasts earlier this week with Darren McLeod, Canadian goalkeeper, and more coming on our Patreon page in the next few days. A little teaser before we say goodbye. Today, there's going to be an announcement on SPN. Stay tuned. Until then, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.